Matthew 27 and verse 22. When you get there, say amen. Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, let him be crucified. It's amazing. 1 week earlier, they were saying, hail him, hail him. Now they're saying, nail him, nail him. Friend, you hear me today. The most important question you'll ever have answered in your life, and I'm reaching for a heart already on Sunday morning. The most important question you'll ever ask and answer is, what shall I then do with Jesus? I just want to preach on that thought. What shall I do with Jesus? Would you slip up your hands to heaven one more time and pray with me? Come on, church, let's pray. Father, I thank you, God. I thank you for this church. I thank you for this pastor. Thank you, God, for this congregation and the voice of truth, God, that's right here. I pray, Lord, if we've ever needed God, we need you tonight, today. I pray that your anointing will be upon the remainder of this service and that you would touch this preacher. Lord, give me the word of wisdom that I need, God. Lord, the spirit of discernment and very word of knowledge. And Lord, I ask you, let God's word have free course this morning. Let it not return void. Bring every thought into captivity, into the very obedience of Christ. And Lord, meet us around these altars and let somebody give their heart and life over to Jesus. Today would be a wonderful day, oh Father, for somebody to get saved. For it's in Jesus' holy name that we do pray. And everyone said amen. Would you shake somebody's hand that's close beside you and tell them, I'm glad to see you in the house of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Been too long since some of you shook your wife's hand, I can already tell. Amen. Love it, hear me this morning. The most important question you'll ever have to answer in this life, it's not how much money did you have in the bank, it's not how many people did you know, or how many politicians' hands have you shook. The most important question that you'll have to answer, young man and young lady, elderly man and elderly lady, is the one question, what have I done with Jesus Christ? It's a very interesting situation that we read of in God's Word this morning. Pilate literally has Jesus in his hands. Jesus stands before Pilate, and in a very, very real sense, whatever Pilate says, that's going to be the decree of what happens to this man, Jesus Christ. On that day, Brother Peach, Jesus was in the hands of Pilate. But you do understand there is coming a day where it's not Jesus in the hands of Pilate. It'll be Pilate in the very hands of Jesus Christ. And just like today, it is Jesus in your hands. It is Jesus in my hands. He does not force himself upon you. He does not push himself upon you. But oh, beloved, hear me today. One day, it'll not be Jesus in your hands. It'll be you and me in the very hands of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? In a very, very real sense, in a very literal sense, just as he is in our hands today, one day we shall be in his hands. And just as today the judgment is up to us, one day the judgment will be up to him. Beloved, hear me today. It's not a day for you to say, I will not choose, for every person must choose. In fact, when you choose not to choose what to do with Jesus, guess what you've done? You've just chose. You just chose and you say, I choose not to do anything about it. Well, Brother Zane, I'm not going to choose yes or I'm not going to choose no. I just choose not to choose. You cannot remain neutral with the question of Jesus Christ. It is a very pertinent question. It is a very personal question. It is a very pressing question. It is a very present question. You've got to answer the question, what are you going to do with him? Pilate's there that day, and the question is put before him, Brother Mike. What will I do with this man. And all of a sudden, you know how it is. Voices begin to cry out from one side to another. What should I do with them? This is what you should do with them. Beloved, in this service today, help me, Holy Ghost. When the Holy Ghost begins to ask you the question, what do you do with Jesus? I promise you, there'll be voices from hell that scream in your ear. You need to turn them away. And just as that man heard voices, I promise you, deep down in your heart, there's voices. There's a voice, son. There's a voice. There's a vehement screaming voice that says, shun him. But there's a still small voice that says, accept him as your Savior. Love him as your King. Accept him as your Lord. Give your everything unto him and let him be God unto you. Hear me in Matthew 27:18. He hears a voice of what, Brother Zane? A voice of reason. For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. Pilate looks around. Brother Jesse, he's no dummy. You don't get to be governor of Judea if you're a dummy. He almost kind of surveys him, looks at him, and he knows the only reason this man Jesus is before him is because they're so envious and so jealous and so bitter at the things that he's done. But this man has done nothing worthy unto death, and he knows down deep in his heart, this is not the right thing to do. Beloved, hear me. You know down deep in your soul, it's time to sell out to Jesus Christ. There's a voice that says unto you, isn't this the right way? Isn't this the holy way? Isn't this the true way? There's a voice of reason that pounds at your spirit and says the wages of sin is still death, but the gift of life is the gift of God's eternal life. There's a voice that pounds in the heart of men that says, think about it. What's eternity going to bring? Think about it. If you drew your last breath today, if you died before you left this church, where are you going to spend eternity? There's a voice of reason, beloved. There's a voice. There's a voice that says, if I drop dead right now, where am I going to spend eternity? There's a voice. There's a voice that says, great God help me. There's a voice that says, as much as you hated the way your daddy lived, as much as you promised as a child, you'll never do what he did. If you keep going the direction you're going, are you going to wind up dead like he's dead? Come on here, friend. There's a voice of reason that begins to deal with your heart and says, unless you make the change, you're going to go down the same road. And all those things you despised and what you saw and what you promised you'll never become, you shall become. One man said there's only three categories you can put Jesus Christ in. He's either liar, lunatic, or Lord. And you can only put him in one of those three categories. What about it? For what if? What if this Jesus? What if he's just an outright liar? What if every word that he ever said was a lie? What if everything that we ever saw was a lie? What if every word in that book was a lie? But you know what? The voice of reason tells you it's not a lie. The voice of I'm talking to somebody this morning. The voice of reason tells you that that book is alive and it's alive and well. And the voice of reason tells you that every word he ever said was true. Well, wait a second, Brother Zane. If he's not a liar, maybe you think he's a lunatic. I mean, every word that he said, being the Son of God, maybe he's crazy. Has this man lost his mind? You know better than that. The voice of reason tells you better than that. And if he's not a liar and he's not a lunatic, then praise God, he must be Lord. Oh, glory to God, he must be King. And if you're not calling him Lord, then you're either calling him a liar or a lunatic. You cannot say that he's Lord and yet he's a liar. You cannot say that he's the Son of God and yet deny him. Make up your mind! You either say He's Lord, or you say He's a liar. You either say He's Lord, or you're saying He's a lunatic. I'll stand before Him, and I'll say Lord, or I'll say liar, or I'll say lunatic. Friend, I've already made my choice. He's Lord. I said He's Lord. He's Lord. He heard a voice. Friend, there were voices that confronted Him. A voice of a loved one. Matthew 27 and 19. When He sat down on the judgment seat, His wife sent unto Him saying, "Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I've suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." Look at me. Pilate heard the voice of a loved one. You hear me, friend, today? It wasn't happenstance that you walked inside of this church. It wasn't coincidence that you found yourself sitting where you're sitting. Can I tell you, there are people that love you. Right here, there's people that, brother Zane, they don't even know me. No. The love of God shines through them, and God knows your name, and He loves you through them. Say amen. And there's a voice of a loved one. Some of you've got mothers and fathers that grew up in this thing, and Lord knows, if they knew how you was living now, they'd roll over in that grave. But they're crying out to you and saying, "Come home and make it right with God." There's not a person here that hasn't had somebody pray for them. He heard the voice of Jesus Himself. John 18 and 37, Pilate said unto them, "Art thou then a king?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness of the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Oh, brother Zane, I just wish Jesus would speak to me. He just did. He just did. I'm not talking about the man in the black suit up here. I'm talking about out of God's divine Word. When you begin to read the Word, that is the Word of God. That is the very voice of Jesus Christ. When you step your foot inside the tabernacle of God and we begin to preach the Word of God, it's the manifest Word of God. It's the voice of God. And if you've been waiting for Jesus to speak to you, you walked in the right place today. You came in the right town. You came in the right church, because Jesus is trying to talk to somebody and tell them, make your calling and election sure. There were voices that confronted Him. God help us, there were voices that conformed Him. Matthew 27 and 20. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. You don't have to turn there, but Mark 15 and 15. So Pilate, willing to contend the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when He had been scourged Him to be crucified. He hears voices that confronts Him. And His heart's pricked. He says to Himself, "I know better than this. I know better than this. I know this ain't right. I know the way I'm living, it's got to change. I know if I keep going down the road that I'm going, man, I'm going to die like the rest of them." And all of a sudden, Brother Peach, he hears another voice. A voice of public opinion. Friend, there's been a lot of folks die and went to hell because they were conformed to the voice of public opinion. Brother Prescott, here's what they did. They had a yearning in their heart to make things right with God. But about that time, they started to look around. And they said, "No, wait a second. What's the majority doing?
And if the majority goes that way, then I guess I'll go that way. But if the majority doesn't go that way, then I'll just hold on back. And they put their very eternal salvation on whether or not somebody else makes a decision for serving God or not. I remember I was in revival years and years ago as a little 12-year-old girl there, and she had a friend who's about 16. Now, friend, you got to understand something. When you're 12 years old, 16-year-olds know everything. God was moving. God was stirring. Altar call was given. She was on this side of the church. I never forget, Brother Jesse. She's on this side of the church toward the back. She just about made a move up to that altar. About that time, that 16-year-old friend of hers looked straight up at me, and I mean stared at me with every ounce of the devil that was inside her. Put her arm around that 12-year-old girl and set her back down. Her daddy come up to me a couple days later, and he's crying. He found a note. I read that note. That little 12-year-old girl said, "Do you think I ought to get saved? Because if you don't think I ought to get saved, I won't get saved. Because we're best friends forever. But if you think I will, then I will. Because we're such best friends." Love, whatever her name was. I hate to tell you, that was a pastor's daughter. Friend, you hearing me today? It don't stop with 12-year-old girls. There's 25-year-old men that look around them and ask their buddies without ever asking them, "You think I ought to sell out to God? You think I ought to live for God? You think I ought to raise up my children in a godly home? You think I ought to bring up my children where they know prayer and the Word of God, where they're full of the touch of God and power of God?" And there ain't a 12-year-old girl, but man, they got the same jelly back as that 12-year-old girl, because they're not standing up for, I don't care if they're 40 years old. I don't care if they can bench press 200 pounds. They're a coward on the inside, because they're so afraid of what opinion is going to say about it. I'd sell out to God, but I'm just so afraid about whatever. Let me tell you, if every other church goes in the wrong direction, you've got to make up your mind, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. I don't care if every other affiliation, I don't care if every other denomination, I don't care if every other church in Martinsville, Virginia, decides to throw the Word of God out the window. Somebody's got to stand for truth. Somebody's got to stand for purity. Somebody's got to make up their mind to serve God. Started to. But opinion said, "I don't think you ought to do that." Opinion says, "What about when service is over and somebody calls you and says, 'What are you doing now?'" Let me tell you, can I just stop and have a little time out here with some of our young people? I've seen moms and dads that literally let go of their standards and their first love. And when their children started getting a hold of it, and their children started saying, "We want the convictions of God's Word and the standards of God's Word and the purity of God's Word," then moms and dads started getting upset about it. Let me tell you something, beloved. I don't care if it's your mama or your dad. I'm not trying to put a seed of rebellion. I'm telling somebody, you hold on to God's Word. And if mama don't want to live it, you still got to live it. And if daddy don't want to live it, I didn't come for the pride. I didn't come for the public opinion. I came for the person of Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. John 19:9. He went again into the judgment hall and said unto them, "Jesus, whence art thou?" Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, "Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee? I have power to release thee." Get the picture. Pilate walks up to Jesus and says, "I beg your pardon, boy. Don't you know who you're looking at?" Pilate. When I say jump, you say. When I say run, you say, "How fast?" And there's a voice of pride. It keeps a lot of men and women from bending a knee. Am I boring you this morning? There's a voice of pride that keeps a heart from bending a knee. saying, I need to sell out to God. We used to preach on pride a whole lot more than what we do now. There's a voice of pride that says, I ain't coming down there. Oh, but Brother Zane, you just have to know how they are. I know how they are. And it's not that they're quiet and just a little backwards. It's that they're so full of stinking pride. They won't come and pray at an altar. My brother's saying, they're just the quiet type. I don't buy that one bit. That man goes out in the woods, shoots a deer with 600,000 antler points. They can hear him crying all the way to Canada. Don't come on. You get excited about what you get excited about. Say amen. I said, you get excited about what you get excited about. Come on here, beloved. And the reason some people are never going to find salvation is their heart is so full of dignity and pride. Had a pastor friend of mine. Son, they had foot washing at the church. I'm still believing that around here. He said, every one of my men walked out in the foyer except for two men. One of them said, well, I'll wash your feet, but I'm not going to let you wash mine. Couldn't have figured that one out. Well, at the end of that service, pastor got up and made an announcement. He said, their midweek service is Wednesday night. He said, I need everybody to come back Wednesday night. As your pastor, I need to make a confession and a public apology to the entire church. So just please come Wednesday night. Dismissed. What is this pastor going to confess about? Got some juicy stuff coming up. Everybody gets on the telephone ministry. You know, it's amazing. When people really want to get victory over arthritis, they can come to the house of God. I know there are some people, don't take me wrong. It's amazing, though. I mean, out of the one night of the week, whenever the kids don't have to be in bed by 7:30. And there, I mean, that place is packed out from wall to wall. And everybody's got one question in their mind. Get over the sermon. What are you about to confess to the church? And then they got the cell phones out. The kids got their thumbs warmed up for texting. Come on here. You know what I mean. Brother Jesse, at the end of that service, that pastor pulls out a Walmart receipt. I forget how much he has, like $47.15, whatever it was. But wherever he spent on those foot washing pans, he laid them all out on both of those altars, held up a receipt for $47.15 or whatever it was. He says, church, he said, I want to confess to you that I have spent $47.15 of God's good money, and I never knew that we had a church so full of pride, and I need to apologize for a misappropriation of funds. And from the next 40, say amen. And from the next 45 minutes, the man laid the blade down on pride. God, give us hearts again. That'll be humble. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess. And you hear me. You hear me. You mark it down, and I stand on the authority of God's Word as I tell you this. Every man and woman, boy and girl, underneath the sound of my voice, you will stand before Jesus. Every person here. You, sir. You, ma'am. Me. Every person here will stand before Jesus Christ. What will you do with Jesus? Give me a couple more minutes and I'll close. There was a voice that confronted him, a voice that conformed him. Lastly, this morning, there was a voice that condemned him. And ironically, you know what voice it was that condemned Pilate? It was his own. And ironically enough, do you know the only person that can keep you from going to heaven is you. You. You, sir. You. John 18:31, "Then said Pilate unto them, Take ye him and judge him according to your law. And the Jews therefore said unto him, It's not lawful." Oh, I love it. They get so super spiritual. "It's not lawful for us to put any man to death." I'm going to do it. I'm not going to do it. You know what Pilate tried to do? Hear me. Pilate tried to ignore Jesus. "Don't, preacher, don't bother me with it. I'm not going to talk about it. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to ignore it." Look at me, son. It didn't work for Pilate. And it won't work for you. Luke 23:6, "Then Pilate heard of Galilee." He asked whether the man were a Galilean. "As soon as he knew that he belonged into Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself was also at Jerusalem at that time." You know what Pilate tried to do? Oh, preachers, have you ever seen this before? Pilate tried to shift the decision to someone else. Have you ever been there before where you go to talk to somebody about their soul and immediately they start telling you about their sister-in-law that's so messed up on crystal meth? And you go to talk to them about their soul and they start telling you about every other family member, that how many times around has she been with this man, and how many times around if she fallen back into alcohol and everything else. And I want to look at him and say, listen. Listen. I understand that's important. We want to deal with that. But right now, we're dealing with your soul. I realize they need help. Right over here, church. But right now, I'm dealing with your soul. And oh, preacher, I'm telling you what, them over there, you really need to pray for them. Do you know my brother? Oh, you really need to. I'm sorry for your brother. I'm sorry for your family. I'm sorry for your neighbor. But what about you? We was in North Mississippi preaching. Pastor said he wanted to visit someone, and he and his wife and me and my wife, we went by there this fall. Any of our little girls was born. And we go in there and start talking to her. I mean, son, within 5 minutes, she's got the black streaks of makeup just crying, running off the sides of her cheeks and running down her chin. And she's just a wailing and crying and boo-hooing the whole time, telling us about how bad off every other family member she got is. She ain't been to church in months and months and months. I mean, she's out as far as she can go. But the whole time she's saying, him, her, them, not me, somebody else. You look at me. Look right up here. Hey, son, right here. It didn't work for Pilate. And it won't work for you. Sister Precious, how's that little church? Tell me, little church. You gave that altar call. Here's a grandma, grandpa, grandma, and a little son. And that grandma went down to that altar. Ladies prayed on that side of the church. Grandma went down to that altar. And I'd seen that granddaddy look down at that boy. He said, I mean, I'm close enough I can read his lips. He said, you need to go down there, son. You need to go down there. I read the lips of that little boy as he looked back at that granddaddy and asked him one question. Grandpa, he says, why ain't you down there? Why ain't you down there, Dad? Why ain't you down there, Mom? I mean, you want it to work out right in the family. It's going to start with you. I believe the Lord's brought a preacher all the way from South Mississippi for a Sunday morning to ask somebody in this house, are you hearing me, somebody in this house, a real simple question. What will you do with Jesus? But mind you, one day you'll be in His. Oh God. Oh God. Luke 23:14. You brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people, and behold, I, having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man touching those things, or have you accused him? No, nor yet Herod. For I sent you to him, and lo, listen, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. You know what Pilate tried to do? Pilate tried to remain neutral. It didn't work for Pilate. And it won't work for you. I'm not saying anything, preacher. I'm just going to remain neutral. Well, you know, if it were just a different preacher preaching this morning, because that Brother Zane is too loud, he's too long, if there was just a different... Listen, you hear me. The Bible did not say, believe in Zane Estes and thou shalt be saved. The Bible said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And so whether or not, you know, it's me... Don't... It's not that... That's not the question. The question is, what are you going to do with him? Well, this isn't really my church, and this isn't really... I'm kind of new in the air. The Bible didn't say believe in the church. The Bible said believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. With every head bowed, please, and every eye closed, and saints, I need you to pray for just a moment. Would you do that? Would you just take a moment and lift up your voice, saints? And let them hear you pray. God. Do you hear them? Do you hear them praying for you? Let me tell you what they're praying. They're praying, oh God, don't let you leave this sanctuary without having it a settled decision in your life. He's going to be Lord. He's going to be Lord. And on a Sunday morning of revival, and on a Sunday morning of revival, I chose to make Him Lord in my life. So with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I'm asking you, you're in this house today and you say, Preacher, I need to make Jesus Lord in my life. I need to turn things over to Him. If that's you, I want you to slip up your hand quickly. That's me, preacher. I want you to slip it up. Come on. Say, I need to make Jesus Lord in my life. Choice is yours, young man. The choice is yours, and you're very right. He's in your hands today, but oh God, for the day you'll be in His hands. Oh God, for the day you stand before Him. For the day that you look at Him and say, I could not call you Lord. And he asked, then, what did you call me? My God. I cry. You're in this house and you say, preacher, there's some things that's up. There's some things that started to creep up in my life. Some things that started to get in and I've let go of some things. I want to turn it over to Jesus this morning. And I just want to make sure I leave this house with clean hands and a pure heart. And I don't want there to be any question in my mind about my settled destiny. If that's you, I want you to slip up your hand. He's here to help you today. God bless you, ma'am. God bless you. Thank you. Is that it? Is that everybody are you being perfectly honest with God? Are you being perfectly honest with the Lord? And I'm going to ask every last one of us, all the way from the very back, all the way to the very front, can we step out from where we're sitting right now, and can we as a church, whether or not you raised your hand or did not, can we find ourselves a place around these altars and maybe these first few pews and up around this platform? Can we make sure everything's right between us and Jesus? Come on, all the way from the back to the front. Come on, let's pray.